like to open with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you give me a strong tongue and a strong heart, Father, and may I share that which you have given me in a strong and fruitful way, Father. I thank you for this church, for Pastor Leafley and all the brethren here and their love for us and our fellow missionaries as well. I pray these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I thought that being a missions conference here this week, that I would bring forth a message about gospel, the gospel of life. And so let me share at this time. In the year 2002, I was finishing my last year at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. At that time, I was working as a home care aide. And Samuel was a man I cared for at that time. Samuel was a man in his mid-30s, and he was afflicted with cerebral palsy, defective muscle control, and paralysis had rendered him completely unable to provide for his life needs. As his home care aide, I would enter Samuel's apartment in the morning and provide for his basic needs so as to enable him to remain alive. Samuel will be in bed in a fetal position with his muscles and limbs rigid and stiff. His hands are in clenched fists. I gently open his hands this way, and I would exercise his arms and his legs to restore elasticity to them. I then pick him up and put him in his wheelchair. Samuel weighs less than 90 pounds. I care for his personal hygiene, bathe him, clothe him, and feed him his breakfast. Samuel cannot speak words, but he makes sounds with his mouth to communicate with me. Samuel is completely dependent upon me for his life. If I fail to visit and care for him, for Samuel, Samuel will lie in his bed, unable to move. He will not be able to care for himself or to feed himself, and ultimately, Samuel would die. We see here in this situation a picture of the unsaved world and the Christian. The unsaved are, in and of themselves, unable to provide for their salvation. God has entrusted us with proclaiming the gospel to the lost. If we fail to effectively share the gospel with the unsaved, ultimately, they will die in their sin. The message for this morning is nets, boats, fish, and faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were with the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The Christian life is a life of faith, and because it's designed to be a life of faith, it is filled with surprises. And surprises really are what the key is to what I want to share with you this morning. If I were able to give you a preview of the next 5 years of your life, no one would be more surprised than you at what you will experience in your walk in Jesus. And if you doubt that, just think back upon the last 5 years of your life and consider all that happened to you in those 5 years and how you had no idea that you were going to experience these things. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Surprises. The way God surprises us. The way God steps into our lives and uses us to accomplish His will. The basics of what I'm going to share with you will be taken from the first 11 verses in Luke chapter 5. These verses are very simple. They're very easy to understand, but they have some magnificent principles. In these verses, we find six comparisons between this passage of Scripture and our own lives. They fit into our lives perfectly. But before we discuss these 6 points, I would like to set the stage for what we are going to be sharing this morning. The context of chapter 5 actually begins in Luke chapter 4 in verse 31. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 4 verse 31. This verse speaks of Jesus and his ministry. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Jesus, many times when he came to a town, would teach at the temple or synagogue during the Sabbath, which was the Jewish day of worship, a Saturday similar to our worship on Sunday. Let's read verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with power, because he spoke the words of Almighty God. When Jesus spoke, it captured the attention of all the people. And now Jesus moves into a ministry of deliverance. Let's look at verses 33 and 34. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, thou art the Holy One of God. Don't ever think for one moment that the demons are not knowing about Jesus. They know who Jesus is. Don't ever let it enter your mind that the demons don't know what's going on here. The demons know Jesus. They are fully apprised of his authority, of his role, of his titles, of his destiny, and they know who he is. And they have rejected Jesus. But we, by the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, have received Jesus into our hearts. Amen. And we are his children of God. Verse 35. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now, this is no show. This is no healing service. This is a Shabbos, a Jewish worship. This is a teaching in the synagogue by Jesus, the great physician. And at that moment, a deliverance occurs. And the people see this. Others hear about it, and they begin to draw conclusions regarding this Jesus of Nazareth. Look at verse 36. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now let me share something with you here. There's a great difference between power and authority here, a big difference. In demonstrating the concept between power and authority, let me use the example of a police officer at an intersection directing traffic. Here's this person with a white glove on, and there's a car coming towards him doing 60 miles an hour. And he just puts up his palm, and this car creeches to a stop. That's authority. He's just standing here like this with his glove on, and that car stops because that's authority. The driver of that car knows that that police officer has authority. Now, power would be if a car came down upon him and bounced off him. Maybe he was the Bionic Man or something. But we see here that therein lies the difference between power and authority. But you see, Jesus had both. Jesus had both power and authority. The power and authority of Almighty God. When Jesus spoke, everyone was quiet. Everyone was impressed. And so the word began to spread. The word began to spread. Verse 37. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. You know, when we have a tendency to read these accounts and neglect to fully understand, to comprehend and realize the wonder, the power, and the excitement of what is actually happening here. There was no television. There was no radio. This was public amazement. This was going out word of mouth to every hamlet, to every village. This great healer casting out demons, speaking with power and authority, and the word was spreading throughout all the area of Galilee. Verse 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Now we have just said that the word is going out. This is Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now the word goes out about Jesus, the great teacher, the great healer. Now there were plenty of learned men of Scripture around, plenty of rabbis, but they were never asked to come into a house when there was a sickness in the house, but they asked Jesus. Verse 39, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You see, Jesus' ministry was both public as he healed in the synagogue and private as he healed in the home. No matter what he did, no matter where he went, he healed all that came to him. Follow with me in verses 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Jesus didn't want demons to be his emissaries. He didn't want them to be his ambassadors. He wants us, the church, his children, to acknowledge and proclaim Jesus is Lord and God. Basically, he's saying here, I will have my people who I know to share the gospel of life. And Jesus wants us, you and I, to proclaim to a lost world that Jesus is Savior and Lord, Almighty God in human form. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 42. And when it was day, now let's stop here for a moment. What does this tell us? Let's look at the top of verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, now look at verse 42, and when it was day, what does these two verses tell us? Jesus was at this all night long, from the setting sun till the morning, Jesus was healing all who had demons, all who were sick. 12 hours from sunset to sunrise, Jesus was here healing, and all of them were healed. Verses 42 and 43, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, it's in this context of all this information going out, Jesus spending 12 hours healing, the word spreading throughout the region of Galilee. Jesus is ministering nonstop. He's teaching. He's healing. He's serving. And that's an important title. He's serving. There are a lot of things going on. The multitudes are growing. The crowds are growing larger. And finally, Jesus comes to the Lake of Gennesaret. And not even here can Jesus get away from the crowds. He can't do it because the people want to follow this man. Amen. And listen to his words. Amen. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Let me share with you a few things about these nets that these fishermen were washing. These nets had little bullet-shaped weights attached to the bottom of them. They were circular in shape, and they were cast into the shallow water. They were one-man nets that were thrown out into shallow waters. And with a one-man net, a lone fisherman would throw the net into the water, and it would come down to the bottom. There would be a drawstring attached to the net that the fisherman would then pull on, and drawing the net tight, and hopefully having a lot of fish in the bag. You see, these fishermen were professional fishermen. This is what they did for a living. They spent their day in the shallow waters of the lake, fishing with their nets, drawing them in, gathering in the fish, and selling them. So we see now that the night of fishing is over, and the fishermen are washing their nets, and they're busy engaged in that when Jesus sees their boats. So this is the setting. That is what's going on right now. Verse 3. And he entreated into one of the ships, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. First of all, we're going to see from the following verses that Peter was not alone in this boat. There were others who were with him in the boat with Peter. And now Jesus is preaching from the boat, and Peter and James and John, the future disciples of Jesus, are right there in the boat with Jesus. So we have to assume that Jesus wanted them to hear close up, one-on-one, what he was about to share with the multitudes. Verse 4. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets out for a draught. Now that was very unusual, going into deep water, because the casting nets these fishermen had were shallow water nets. How could they catch any fish? It didn't make any sense. These were professional fishermen. You don't go out into deep water with a shallow water net. The nets won't go down to the bottom, and that's where you catch the fish, at the bottom. Let's look at verse 5. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon uses the word master in this verse in referring to Jesus. The word master is a Greek word called epistete. It means captain. You can use it either way, master or captain, and that's the understanding that we have here. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Can you imagine the look on the faces of these fishermen? They're out in deep water where they're not supposed to be. They're out with nets that won't go in deep water, and they've caught so many fish that their nets are breaking. It's incredible. Now, these guys don't want to lose any of this fish. They're professional fishermen, so they don't want to lose their fish. And so they signal to their partners in the other boat to come over and help them. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that it began to sink. And so their partners come over and they filled both ships with the catch of fish. And there were so many fish that these ships began to sink. Let's read verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. No longer was Peter calling Jesus master or captain. Peter realized who Jesus was. Peter realized Jesus was Lord. And I want to pause here for a moment. I want us to think about something. These men were professional fishermen. No matter what your profession is, think about this also. Jesus told them to do something that was totally unprofessional, not unethical, but unprofessional. Before we entered into a personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we lived our lives according to our own wisdom and understanding. We did things according to the ways of the world, according to the ways of man. But as a child of God, we are called upon by the Lord to do things, to live our lives, which many times are in total contradiction to the ways of man and the ways of the world. When the Spirit of God makes it very, very clear to you to obey the Lord in a surprising area, in a surprising way, and you obey Him and you do it, the Lord has a catch of fish for you that you cannot believe. You cannot believe. Many times the Lord tells us to do things which we cannot understand, which we cannot comprehend, which we can't see working out right. And that happens so much with us, with myself as well. We're looking at this and we're saying, I don't know about this. But if God is telling us to do something and we trust Him, if we take Him at His word and do it, then you will experience things you haven't even imagined of. Believe in Him. Believe in His word. Few are they that are willing to do the unusual to experience the incredible. Let me say that again. Few are they that are willing to do the unusual to experience the incredible. If you are among these people who are willing to do that, you will have a life in Jesus that very few have. If you can be open to what it is that God has for you to do the unusual, doing the thing you normally wouldn't do, if you feel God leading you to do it, and you will be amazed at what you achieve in Christ. Verse 9, for He was astonished in all that were with Him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Peter, having obeyed the Lord, having obeyed His word, was astonished at the abundant good fruit that came forth from his obedience. And we can expect the same abundant fruit in our walk in Jesus when we obey Him and His word. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. This verse contains the central theme of this passage of Scripture, the salvation of lost souls for Christ, of catching people for the kingdom of God, bringing people into the family of God. This passage of Scripture was not a lesson on catching fish. This is about God seeking those who are lost. And God desires us to be fishers of men and women. He wants us to cast forth our nets, not in fear, but in boldness, trusting in Him, believing in His word, as faithful servants of His Son Jesus, that our nets may be filled with souls for His kingdom. I can remember when I was a brand new Christian, and I had a gospel track ministry. And I remember going to the trains. I knew where certain trains were because I worked on the railroad. And on Fridays, during rush hour, I would go to different stations, especially those that were near Jewish neighborhoods. And I remember one of the first times that I went to a train station, I had my pack of gospel tracts, and I was kind of like hiding it from the people. And then when the train came in, you have about 200 people coming off that train at a fast rate of speed. And I would just take a step back and say, can I give you something to read? Can I give you something to read? At first, I was very, fearful, you know. I didn't know how they were going to react. But after a while, after hanging out, handing out these tracts, I began to have boldness. And I was just sharing these gospel tracts with these people at a fast rate myself. Now let's read verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now it says here they forsook all. They left everything and followed Jesus. They left their possessions. They left their homes. They left their professions. When we read this verse, it's obvious to us that these men left all these things and followed Jesus. But what may not be so obvious to us is that they left their security. And by doing this, they left their security. All these things represented security in these men's lives, and they gave that up as well to follow Jesus. I mentioned at the beginning of this message that we find six comparisons between this passage of Scripture and our own lives. There are six words, six verbs, actually, which I'm going to share with you and then expound on them. The first two verbs, Jesus chooses and uses. Secondly, he moves and he proves. And thirdly, he conceals and he reveals. He conceals and he reveals. Now stay with me as I share these three sets of verbs. First, Jesus chooses not to minister alone. He chooses not to ministry alone. Jesus deliberately involves others in his work. Deliberately. When Jesus was in the boat with Simon, he told Simon to cast out his nets. Jesus could have cast out the nets himself and hauled in the nets filled with fish, but he told those in the boat to do this. Jesus said, "You will be catchers of men." Jesus is saying, I want you, every one of us here, and myself, I want you to be part of the ministry of lost souls being saved. This is why we are here. We are here to share the gospel with the Jewish people, to the world, excuse me. Jesus chooses us to be co-laborers with him, and that is just something that's incredible to me. This is God, the God of the universe, the God who stoops down to us and reaches out to us and says, I want you to be a co-laborer with me. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have. God chooses us to be co-laborers with him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 states that we are his own, chosen of God and precious. God has chosen us to be co-laborers with him, and that's a wonderful blessing. Next, he uses. He uses the familiar to do the incredible. He uses the familiar to do the incredible. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We as his people in our familiar surroundings, our jobs, our homes, our family gatherings, Christmas is just around the corner. When we our get-togethers with friends, we will be used by God to do wondrous, mighty things. I had five brothers, and I had an opportunity not too long ago to share the gospel with them. And Christmas, as I said, is coming just around the corner, and we will have opportunities to share with our family members who may be unsaved. We will be amazed. We will be amazed at what God will accomplish in our everyday lives if we allow Jesus to be involved in our lives, according to his will, not ours. The more we yield ourselves to God, the more he will use us, involve us in doing miraculous, wondrous things through us. We're here to do the will of God. Jesus chose 12 ordinary men to be his disciples. Fishermen, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. These are just fishermen, and yet the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. They were able to do incredible things. Secondly, he moves and he proves. First of all, Jesus moves us from the safety of the seen to make us trust him with the risks of the unseen. In verse 4 of the passage, we read that Jesus told Simon to put his boat out into deep water. Some of us are on the brink of deep water right now, right on the brink of deep water, and we're very, very fearful to take that step into deep water. Many of us are considering things to do for God. God has placed upon every one of our hearts things that he would like us to do, which he desires that we do. I can remember, I probably was just a little older than Aaron when we went to the beach. My mother used to pack all of us, six brothers and myself, we would go to the beach. And the first thing we did when we got to the beach, everyone went running into the surf and dove into the water and started swimming out to the deep. I was only just a little older than three, and I couldn't do that, you know. And I would just watch my brothers out there having a wonderful time. But here I am. I'm standing by the water there where it's just where the waves are coming in very, very small. And I decided to start walking towards the water where my brothers were. And I took one step, and then another step, and then another step, and then another step, and it's getting, and the water's getting higher and higher. And then comes that defining moment for a three-year-old when he takes one more step and he can't touch bottom. And that's the deep for a three-year-old. God says, don't worry about the deep. I will watch you and take care of you. Don't worry about that. And I can remember when I took that last step and I couldn't touch bottom, I turned around and went back to the sand. And I just sat there with the water going over me, watching my brothers. And that's how it is for us. If we take that step and go into the deep, God has wondrous things for you. And that's what he wants us to do, to trust him. Go out into the deep and trust him. We have to take a step in faith and leave the security of where we are and trust in Jesus. If you're struggling with the risks of the unseen, trust him. Trust him now. Don't ever look back. If you are fearful of doing what you know God wants you to do, trust him and do it. Next, Jesus proves. He proves the potential. He proves the potential by breaking our nets and filling our boats. He proves what potential we can have when we venture out into deep waters in obedience to his call, his leading. Not one of those fishermen realized that there were so many fish in the lake until they obeyed Jesus and did what he told him to do. When we obey God and do what he tells us to do, we will be able to do things we never dreamed of. And I believe everyone here knows that in your hearts. God has already used you in many ways. God's blessing you. He's blessing this church, and he wants to continue to do that. God proves his faithfulness by blessing us with his fruitfulness. Let me say that again. God proves his faithfulness by blessing us with his fruitfulness. Lastly, Jesus conceals and he reveals. He conceals his surprises until we follow his leading. Everything seemed business as usual on the surface that day for the fishermen right before Jesus got into Simon's boat. The fishermen were cleaning their nets after fishing all night. They were engaged in their normal routine. And that's how it is for us. We live day in and day out, and it's a normal routine. But God is saying to us, you can do extraordinary things if you just trust me and take a walk into the deep. As I said, the fishermen were just fishing, were just cleaning their boats. It was just the very basics. But hidden behind the surface was a remarkable surprise. A remarkable surprise for them, and if we can walk with him that way, for us also. You see, the surprise didn't happen until they put their boats in the deep and cast their nets. The surprise didn't happen until they listened to Jesus, went into the deep waters, and cast their nets. You see, we as believers like the shallow waters. We can touch bottom in the shallow waters. We feel secure in the shallow waters. We don't really want to venture out into deep waters. Search your hearts to see where God is touching your heart and sharing with you what he wants you to do. Maybe it's being a soul winner. Maybe God has called you to be a comforter, a Barnabas. Maybe God's called you to be a missionary. Maybe God has called you to be involved in a ministry in this church. I know that you're all considering faith promise giving. And this is a wonderful blessing that God bestows upon us. He gives us the opportunity to give to him and to be a soul winner. You know, us missionaries cannot do the work of the Lord without you, the church. And we're co-laborers together, you and I. Missionaries and church members, we're all involved in soul winning. When this church gives to missionaries, they are doing the work of a gospel soul winner. And so, I would say to you, as you're considering faith promise giving, realize that what we give God, God so many times gives back to us tenfold. I mean, God will bless you. God will bless you as you give unto him, as you seek to serve him according to his will. Finally, Jesus reveals his objective to to those who are willing to relinquish their security. Jesus revealed his will for Simon in verse 10 when he said, "Fear not, henceforth thou shalt catch men." Jesus was saying to Simon, this is what it's all about. Now you're going to be catching men. Now I'm going to use you to bring people into the kingdom of God. And this is God's objective for all of us, to lead people into the kingdom of Almighty God. Right before Jesus ascended up into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then he said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." When we go out into deep waters, Jesus has his arms right around us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us and guide us and bless us as we obey him and his will for us. As a home care aide, when I entered into Samuel's apartment, the first thing I was required to do was to pick up the phone and call his father. When he answers, I say to him, "Mr. Smith, this is Richard Kressel, and I'm here to take care of your son. I'm in his apartment, and I'm taking care of him." And then he says to me, "Well, thank you, Richard. You have a good day." And then he hangs up. You see, Mr. Smith responded by saying, "Thank you." And then he just put the phone down. You see, Mr. Smith wanted to be certain that there was a home care aide taking care of the needs of his son. The phone call was his way of holding me personally responsible for taking care of his son. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Our Lord is holding us personally responsible for sharing the gospel to the unsaved of this world. He's holding us responsible because he's called us, the church, to share the gospel to all the world. And he's holding us responsible for that. May we be faithful in sharing the gospel to the Jewish, to the world. I just want to say this once again. It's a wonderful thing to be a co-laborer with God. He wants to bless us abundantly. He wants to use us to see the world, those who are lost and dying and headed for an eternity of flames of fire. The ladies who sang that song was such a wonderful song because it talks about their great need. They have such a great need, and they don't know how they could have that need filled. God has called us, the church, to fill that need by sharing with them the gospel. Pastor.
All right, let's stand together this morning. Take a hymn book, if you would. We're going to sing a song, a verse of invitation. I trust that God has laid upon your heart from this message the burden for the world around us, the different likenesses between this story in Luke chapter 5 and our call, and the burden we should have to reach lost people. We appreciate that challenge.